All right, so this morning,
like a year that we've been doing this?
This morning is a little bit more than a year, but this morning we are going to finish the eighth principle, the eighth ikkar, and we're going to talk about this morning is actually going to be going back to something that we've already touched upon, but this morning is going to serve as somewhat of a recap, serve as somewhat of a summary conclusion of what we've discussed in the eighth ikkar. What I want to discuss is we've discussed before the Rambam source text and what he saw as significant about the verse that he brings from the story of Korach, from the conclusion of the episode of the dispute between Moshe and Korach. And this morning I want to really just go more into that story. It's somewhat tangential, but we're going to use it as a way of really bringing everything together, or maybe recapping what we've been discussing. But basically, what I want to discuss is that Moshe says to Korach, through this you will know that Hashem has sent me to do everything that I've done, and ki lo mi libi, it's not from my own heart. And we just discussed the significance of that. But what I want to discuss this morning is exactly what did Moshe show Korach, or everyone who is watching. Meaning that the way, what we've seen so far, is that the Rambam has told us that Moshe's prophecy was on a level that was directly from Hashem, word for word. There was no interpretation involved, there was no translation, it was the actual words that God told him to write. And now Moshe's gonna prove that, and he does this miracle. Now, for us, we know that Moshe's point was proven from the fact that it's written in the Torah. Meaning that once we, after everything is said and done, and we have the Torah, and we know the authenticity of the Torah, and everything is kind of, you know, looking back at it, for us, it's enough that Moshe said, through this you will know, and whatever it is that he was saying will know, we know that it was taught. So for us, it's kind of, it's in a working backwards kind of way, it's not as direct for us in terms of how are we supposed to learn the lesson. We learn the lesson because we have the benefit of having the Torah telling us. But those who were there witnessing it, what I want to discuss today is how was what was done with Korach. Moshe says, "Bezos tedum, through this you will know, through what I'm about to do, you will know that that Hashem sent me." So what he was about to do was the miracle of the ground opening up its mouth and swallowing Korach. How did that show the exact point that Moshe wanted to show? There are plenty of miracles that happened throughout the day. There's a splitting of the sea, and there was a Matan Torah, and there are all kinds of things that happened. But now you're going to know, I'll show you exactly whatever the point that Moshe is trying to show. So I'm going to try and split this into three steps to try and get to the bottom of this. The first step that we have to know is, if we want to understand what the lesson, what the message or the proof being brought was, first we have to understand what the challenge was, what Korach was saying, which had to be refuted. We have to understand what the refutation was, what Moshe was attempting to show by refuting it, and then we'll try and get to how that was actually shown. So we have those three points to try and get down. Right, so yes.
Once the mouth of the earth opened up and swallowed Korach, did it close back up?
We can talk about that.
Okay, just a little side footer.
To that point, somewhere towards the end of our shiur. But there are a number of interpretations of exactly... We'll start with a question, which the Ramban actually asks, but a number of Mefarshim... the Ibn Ezra actually asks it, but the Ramban addresses it, that this was a new, right? This is the Bria Chadasha. Hashem's going to make something new, that the earth is going to open up its mouth. The Ibn Ezra asks, the earth opens up all the time. You've never heard of an earthquake, right? There's times when the earth splits. So the Ibn Ezra asks, and actually concludes, that when it says Bria, it doesn't mean something new. It was nothing new. And the Ibn Ezra reinterprets the verse, but most Mefarshim do not go with Ibn Ezra and explain exactly what was so novel and unique about the earth opening up its mouth, and we're going to try and tie that in also. I just want to point out one thing. This doesn't really fit into the rest of the shiur, at least not directly, but that when I said before that the Moshe says, Bazos Teidun, with this you will know, and the this seems to be a reference to this, meaning what I'm about to do. Through this that I'm about to do and do this sign and miracle, you will know that Hashem sent me. The Rabbeinu Bachaye actually, in passing, he doesn't really directly make this point, but in passing, actually seems to reinterpret Bazos kind of homiletically, but he says that Bazos, Zos refers to the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, the level of Moshe's prophecy, which was on the level of Zos, which is Zos is the feminine version of the word Zeh, right? That Moshe's Nevuah was the Nevuah of Zeh, Zeh HaDavar, right? That this is what Hashem said, that the all other Nevi'im, they prophesied with Ko Amar Hashem, Hashem, like this said Hashem, and Moshe said, this is what Hashem said, it's the Madrega, the level of Zos, through appreciating, through understanding, speak on those, through knowing about Zos, that you will understand that Hashem sent me and that I'm not doing any reinterpretation. So the way Rabbeinu Bachaye interprets the verse, you don't actually have to say that the miracle was the exact point which was making this point. However, I assume that even Rabbeinu Bachaye, after reinterpreting it, will still tell you, Ein Mikra Yotzi Midei Pshuto, the simple understanding of the verse remains, Moshe saying, Zos meaning this, the miracle, and it's, going to somehow have to be related, but that's somewhat tangential, but also, we'll see at the end, hopefully, that actually fits in very nicely with what was going on here. So let's start with what exactly Korach was saying, and what the significance of what Korach was saying. So, we discussed it before, but we'll see through the sources. The Or HaChaim on the verse of Bazos Teidun goes through exactly what Moshe thought he needed to show that they didn't believe yet. And the Or HaChaim in discussing this says exactly what it was that people might have been thinking, which is what Korach was saying. And he says, "Ulai kitzan hachashan haya al zeh aderech." The suspicion was as follows: "Kilitzan shematza Moshe chen beinei Hashem." In as much as Moshe was clearly on Hashem's good side, right? Hashem chose Moshe, and Hashem clearly was a big fan of Moshe. Kishahaya Moshe chafetz lases gedul echad mikrovav. That when Moshe wanted to give prominence, positions of significance to his family, kegon hakahuna la'aron v'hanesios le'elitzafan, that when he wanted to give the kahuna gedola to Aaron and his family, and we wanted to give the role of nasi of Shevet Levi to Elitzafan v'kadoma and things like that, hayose, he would do that v'nimlach b'Hashem, meaning what he would do is he would decide that's what he wanted to do, and then he would ask Hashem's permission, so to speak, he would consult Hashem, v'Hashem maskim al yado, and Hashem would say, yeah, Moshe, if that's what you want to do, sure, sounds good. Or, less overt, not that Moshe went and petitioned Hashem for it, but that, Moshe, that's just what he really wanted deep down. And Hashem fulfilled the desires of his heart. But not because that's the way it had to be. Not because there was anything inherent that Aharon was the one who was fit for kahuna, or Elitzafan was the one who was fit to be the Nasi. Korach was accusing Moshe, the way the Or HaChaim is presenting it, not necessarily of, just making things up, that Hashem said it this way or that way, but that Moshe was basically working the system to have Hashem say what Moshe wanted him to say. And what's the and what's the problem with that? The problem with that is, okay, so Hashem said it at the end of the day, but at the end of the day, everyone else thinks, okay, God said it, but God didn't really need to say that. That's not really, that's not a necessary, you know, I don't have to, that's not as significant to me, because Hashem only said that because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu really wanted. But that's not inherent in Ratzon Hashem. That's just Hashem, so to speak, you know, coming through for right, going along with what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted deep down, or what Moshe Rabbeinu suggested. And that was what Korach was suggesting, and that might be the Kilomi Levi that Korach was suggesting was from Moshe's lathe, meaning it was from Moshe's Ratzon. It was really deep down what Moshe wanted, and Hashem was, you know, since Hashem was liked Moshe, because Moshe was the Eved Hashem, and he, all the things that Moshe had done, so Hashem was, so to speak, you know, doing favors for and that it was not something which was inherent, that it had to be that way in terms of what the Torah wanted. The Malbim, I'm sorry, not the Malbim, before I get to the Malbim. What?
Very weak.
Very weak on behalf of Korah?
Yes.
Why?
Because Hashem is not like any other king. It's not like Paro and Yosef. This is Hashem we're talking about.
So I saw, I have to remember where
Hashem,
I...
Unlike Moshe, Paro, and Yosef, Hashem is perfect.
So I saw, I don't remember right now where I saw it, if it was in the Malbim or in the Meshech Chachma, or someone makes the point that I'm trying to remember who. Okay, I don't remember exactly who said it, but somebody makes the point, very similar to what you're saying, that if that was Korach's mistake, then Korach is really guilty of more than one thing. He's also guilty of attributing to Hashem that, you know, Hashem is, you know, convincingly that you could, you know,
twist his arm.
So to speak, twist Hashem's arm. You could, you know, convince Hashem, or, you know, that Hashem does favors for people, which, you know, just because that's what the person wants and things like that, Korach was also guilty of suspecting Hashem, so to speak, of a very lowly way of leading Klal Yisrael. But that's...
Doesn't Hashem also sometimes say, look, I'll let you do what you sort of want to do, and let's see how that works out?
But, so there is, in terms of... it's true, there is in terms of... We find that by the Meraglim, right, that Hashem said, Shlach Lecha, if you want to do it, you know what, fine, if you want to do it, you go ahead and do it. But that's very different than saying that Hashem commanded to do this because of what someone wanted. When Hashem's saying, I'll let you make your own decisions, and you'll be held accountable for them. Right? As opposed to what Korach is saying, is that Hashem's telling them what to do. He's creating mitzvos, so to send a Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky makes a tremendous point in Emes Leyakov. I think this point is really the point of a medrash in on these psukim. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks the question. He says that Harei Shemoshe Rabbeinu Hechlit Me'atmo Lehavias Kol Mesiras HaTorah B'Sakana. Moshe Rabbeinu, seemingly on his own accord, put the entire Torah in danger. He hung the entire Torah on the line. Shari lo matzino sheivtichol Kadosh Baruch Hu yasol onis. You look in the psukim. Hashem never told him, Moshe, tell Korach I'm going to do a miracle for you. Moshe, tell Korach that we should, you know, do a test. Hashem never consulted Moshe. I'm sorry, Moshe never consulted Hashem. Moshe just, Korach said it, and Moshe responded, you know what? Bazos teidun, through this you'll know that Hashem sent me. And if Hashem, if Hashem doesn't come through on what Moshe has just decided Hashem is going to do, so what's going to happen? Moshe's putting the entire Torah on the line, seemingly without any guarantee. So, why did he do such a thing? So Rav Yaakov says, I won't read the whole thing inside, but Rav Yaakov says that Moshe Rabbeinu was really, there was no other choice, or rather there's nothing to lose. Moshe Rabbeinu is at the point that if at this point in the Midbar there are still all of these people, there are still people challenging that the Torah that he gave to Klal Yisrael. So his entire Mesiras HaTorah really amounts to nothing because if this challenge remains unanswered, if this challenge remains in the air and it's not addressed unequivocally, so for eternity there's always going to be im kain mochrach hu lasos nisan zeshai af im HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yaseh hanes, even if Hashem doesn't do this miracle, v'yisvar Moshe einu shaliach amiti, and then it comes out that Gala that Moshe was not the real messenger of Hashem. Avalim lo yatzuklum gamkein yitzakein. But if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do anything, if Moshe Rabbeinu just sits silently to Korach's challenge, that's going to be the same result. Sharei belizet tamid yifak v'hu anashim v'amiti yuso. Because if this is what happens, if that would be the result, there will always be people who will challenge and doubt and shed questions on the authenticity of the Torah. And therefore Moshe had no other option for Moshe. He had to do this test, so to speak, this sign. What Yaakov is saying is Korach's challenge in and of itself put the entire Torah into question. Korach is maybe challenging only one thing. You look at the Mefarshim and the different scope of exactly how much Korach was challenging. But Korach, the very minimalist approach, may have only been challenging one thing. But the mere fact that you could challenge what Moshe Rabbeinu said, and that would go unresponded to, so that itself unravels the entire Torah, because whoever wants to come along and say, well, maybe this mitzvah was really not what Hashem really wanted, and maybe this Aveira was not really what Hashem wanted. The entire Torah is now undermined, and Moshe is left in a place that if he does or he doesn't do anything, the entire Torah is going to be left impotent. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says, goes out on a limb, so to speak, because he's not any worse off, even if he would go out on a limb and nothing would happen. Says, and this is really gets to the heart of our issue, that what Korach's challenge was saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe the Torah and the mitzvos contain some contamination of your own input, your own influence, and that even if Korach's only directing it to one specific point, that is a challenge which threatens to undermine the entire Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu now has to have a certain surah, a certain formulation, a certain design of how he responds. And the Malvim really captures this very nicely. I'm not going to read the first page. I'll just summarize what where he asks the questions on the first page. He says that he asks two questions. He says that we had a Chet Ha'egel, and we had an episode with the Mon and the Slav and all kinds of things where Klal Yisrael, doubt Hashem, question Hashem, go against Hashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem says, I've got to get rid of these people, and Moshe Rabbeinu stands up, the defender of Klal Yisrael, and stands up for them and says, Hashem, have mercy. You come to the episode of Korach, and all of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu is the prosecutor. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one saying, Hashem, you got to get rid of them. Hashem, don't listen to their crying out to you. Hashem, you have to respond to this. Moshe Rabbeinu, it almost seems like Moshe Rabbeinu is more concerned about his own honor than the honor of Shammai, right? When Hashem is challenged, Moshe Rabbeinu is there to defend Klal Yisrael. But when Moshe Rabbeinu is challenged, so all of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hashem, you got to get rid of these people. And the second thing is that in as much as for whatever reason Moshe saw that this needed to be responded to, but such an extreme that Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not enough that Moshe Rabbeinu just says, Hashem, you've got to, got to do something about this. He says, Hashem, you have to make a bria, you have to, open the ground of the earth, a bria. You got to do something which is, tantamount to, Maisa Bracious, a new creation, something which never happened before in order to get, why does Moshe Rabbeinu need to go to such an extreme to respond to their challenge? So the Malbim's explanation of exactly why Moshe Rabbeinu was saw fit to respond in the way he did. And he says that the Torah or the mitzvos are have to be understood that Hashem gave the Torah in front of all of Klal Yisrael. And it's something which there's no way, you know, one of the primary distinctions that people will make between our religion and every other religion, the way Rav Yaakov Weinberg always used to say it, was that in order to believe in any other religion, you have to make a leap of faith. In Judaism, in order to not believe, you have to make a leap of faith. Because in Judaism, we have 600,000 people or 3 million people who were all there and witnessed it themselves, and we have a train of tradition which does not start from one person, but something which is impossible to fake. If it was possible to fake, someone else would have done it. And you have this, the start, the bedrock of the Jewish faith is that it's something that you can reliably count on. That this, that you have something to believe in. And that was important. That the bedrock of Jewish faith is something which we weren't all there physically at Har Sinai, but it's something that we can all look back to. Korah, if at the time of if there there was there had to be this eternal nature to Maimed Har Sinai, and says the Malbim, the Basher Kol Zeh Nasa Bepumbi Lifnei Shishim Ribo. This entire thing of Har Sinai was done in front of 600,000 people. Zos beinehem v'shamu. I'm sorry, sherau zos beinehem. They saw it with their own eyes. V'shamu bazneim. They heard it with their own ears. V'lo haya az shum cholek umachish. That's the dvar me'ila. And there is no one who said, no, this is Sinai really going on here. There's nothing you can do about it. You're seeing it with your own eyes. You can't question that. Umehem ba'a ha-kabbalah ha-ne'amana al b'neim achreim achadom l'kol dor yavo ki'ilu amad b'ma'amad ha-nivcharahu. And this tradition is then transmitted to their sons in such a way that it's as if every generation that comes, it's in a certain sense they were there themselves. V'shama v'ra'a kol zeh ba'azna v'ein of mi'bli cholek. They all, it's in a certain sense, they can relate to it as if they themselves saw it and heard it. Ulam, however, achar sha'amda ha'ida ha'ra'azos adas Korach. Once Korach's group got up, od v'od Moshe chai, while Moshe's still alive, lahakish eshlichuso v'nuvuaso, to deny, to question, to challenge his messengership, his prophecy, through that they are really challenging the entire Torah. Just like that they'll say about the kahuna that Moshe did it on his own. That so too they could say about anything in the Torah that Moshe gave. The imkain, nafal yesod emunas haTorah gam bedor Moshe. The foundation of the Amunah in the Torah would then have fallen while Moshe was still there. The Kol Shekein the Doros Abayim. How much more so in further generations they'll say, well look, you want us to believe this whole thing, but even in Moshe's own lifetime there were people coming up and challenging. Ki Yomru Shahalo Gam Bedor Midbar Lo Kulam Eskimo Amitasa. Even in the Dor Midbar not everybody agreed. V'nimtzu Makchishim V'cholkim Aleha Shemoshe Bada Oso Milibo V'lo Hashem Shelachehu. And they'll say that Moshe made it up and Hashem didn't really send it. The Im Kain Ein Amitas Kabbalasu M'Kayemes Mikol Ade Raya. And if so, the Torah is not, has not escaped, has not come clean from all challenge. It's not any shemetz, any glimmer of some kind of challenge. The Im Kain Kemo Sheyara Hashem Al Har Sinai B'Mofsim Gedolim. Just as Hashem at the time of Matan Torah came and there was things that were wondrous like the time of the creation of the world, the giving of the Torah was a point that was a momentous, monumental occasion, kedei lekayim amitasa l'dor darim, in order to set the foundation which will last for generations. Kein min hechrech ata she'amdu kat minim hamakrishim osa lekayim amitasa ulevayer ki sheker tarmisam. So too now was necessary when these heretics get up to question it, in order to uphold its authenticity and to clarify that they have nothing to go on. Also on a nace, a sign of the same caliber of Yesh Me'ayin, to show that this, that these challengers of the Torah have, that their complaint is nothing. The Malvim explains, Im kamos kol adam yamusun eile, if they will die, right? Moshe says that through this you will know, if these people die a normal death like everyone else, then lo Hashem shalachani, then Hashem didn't send me. It says, Im kamos kol adam yamusun eile, if they die a normal death, shemesim kishemagia zmanam lamos, they just die when their time comes to die. O avshe yamusu teka, or even if they die immediately, they're punished, and they die immediately. Rak yamusu b'magefa, o b'choli hameimis tekef. They just die through some kind of sick, you know, the Hashem gives them a plague, and they die right away. Sha'alza amar pekudas kol adam yifkad aleihem. They, you know, they get accounted for. They're taken they're taken to task, but like anyone else. Even if Hashem would take them into account and punish them immediately, but it will be a death which is, you know, a commonplace death. It happens. Plague or pestilence. Hallo yuchlu lomar ki lo Hashem shalachani. Then people could still say, people will be able to bring up that kilo Hashem shalachani, that Hashem didn't send me. Achar shekvar amdu makrishim es hashlichos v'lo ba mofis chazak levar ki sheker divrayim, because people got up to challenge and there was no clear sign saying that what they did was absolutely out of the park. It was absolutely out of the discussion. Even if they would be taken to task, people would say, okay, they were wrong, happens to be they were wrong, but they weren't, you know, like, completely out of whack, like, they had something, you know, they had a point. Okay, they happened to be incorrect, but maybe, you know, that mitzvah, they weren't right about. Hashem was saying, no, I, you know, don't question Moshe about that, that was my decision. But there, you know, Korach had a valid point. Even Korach maybe even was wrong entirely, but at least, you know, there was room to think what he thought. There was, you know, okay, he was incorrect, he has to be punished for going against Moshe Rabbeinu, but he at least had something to go on. There was a reasonable place that he was coming from. It was a line of thought which at least, you know, made sense, had some room to consider it. Says the Malbim, that would have been the end of the Torah right there. It had to be shown that what Korach was saying was not just incorrect, it had absolutely no room to even be taken into consideration. It was something which was anathema. It was something which was completely Torah. And so now we get to what it means, how exactly did this sign, Moshe says, I'm going to show you that Hashem sent me. And now we know what he's trying to show is, Korach, what you are doing is challenging the entire Torah, and you're incorrect. You have to see that what you are saying is contrary to the entire Torah, and that you are wrong about that.
Did Moshe know that was what was going to happen to Korach and his gang, or would he just know that, oh, something big has to happen here to show everyone?
So Moshe actually said, Moshe was the one who said the earth is going to open up, right?
Yeah.
Right, Hashem never, and Hashem did it, but Hashem never said
right.
it, right? So,
But he could have also thought of some other really extreme thing, like lightning coming down.
Right, so that's what we're going to get to right now. So now what is Korach, what is Moshe specifically showing Korach with the nace of the earth opening up? So the Rabbeinu Bachaye says on this pasuk, Im kamos kol adam, if he would die like everyone else, it can't be that his death is going to be like a normal death. Says the Rabbeinu Bachaye in the middle where it's underlined, V'davar yaduahu, shehamach lokis hazeh, hayasibas bitol hatorah kula. Says Rabbeinu Bachaye, what we've been discussing, that it is understood, it is known, that this machlokis was not just about a detail, this was a cause or a potential cause for the nullification of the entire Torah. Because this person can argue about him, with Moshe Rabbeinu, about one thing today, and somebody else is going to argue about something else. And they'll go from point to point until you're denying the entire foundation, the entire principle of the Torah. Eventually get to the point, whether it be through the sum total of what everyone says, or whether it just be that as it gets but that they'll eventually come to the point where the entire Torah is not from Shemayim. There was no Torah min Shemayim, and it's all things that Moshe made up on his own. The Al Kain Haya Ansham Chamor, and therefore they had a very serious punishment. Ulafi Shehim Ba'u Keneged HaTorah Shehi Kiyum HaShemayim Va'aharet. Since they were coming to reject the Torah, which is the Kiyum, which is the foundation of Shemayim Va'aretz, right? When Hashem created the world, Elu Toldos, Yom HaShishi, right? The Pasuk in Bereishis says, Yom HaShishi. Why is it Yom HaShishi? The Medrash says, because Maisa Bereishis, the act of creation, is Taloi V'Omed, was waiting, it was conditional, it was hanging in the balance until a later Yom HaShishi, until the sixth day, of Nisan, of Sivan, when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah. And if the Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, accepted the Torah, then fine, creation will continue on. But if they don't accept the Torah, Hashem says, I created the world for the sake of the Torah. Torah is the foundation of Shemayim Va'aretz, the acceptance and the keeping of the Torah and faithfulness to the Torah is the foundation of what keeps the world going. And not only that, but we know the Zohar tells us, Yistachel Bo Raitzu Bara Alma, that Hashem looked into the world, looked into the Torah, and based thereon created the world. The Torah is the blueprint for creation, and the Torah is the foundation on which the world continues to exist. And Korach was coming to reject not just the kahuna, he was coming to reject the entire Torah. So because of that, he was coming to challenge the foundation of Shemayim Va'aretz. Ne'enshu ba'onesh chamor min ha-shamayim u'min ha'aretz. Therefore, Korach was punished with a punishment that was both from Shemayim and from the Aretz. Chazal say that Korach was min ha-nisrafim u'min ha Baluim, that Korach was both included in the group of people who got burned when the fire came out. The fire came out from the Ohel Moed and burned the people who were bringing the incense. That Korach was also burned. That's min ha-shamayim. And that Korach was also swallowed up by the earth. That's min ha-aretz. That Korach was his punishment was total consummation from the entirety, from both aspects of creation, from Shemayim and Aretz, because he had gone against the entirety of creation. He had challenged the pillar of creation, the pillar of existence, which is the Torah. The point that Rabbi Corey brought up before. The Ramban discusses that the Ibn Ezra says, Ibn Ezra writes that normally in the Torah the word Bria means something which is Himatze Yesh Me'ayin, something which is brought into existence, ex nihilo, brought into creation to something out of nothing, from out of non existence, from non existence. And the Ibn Ezra asks that we had plenty of times where the earth split, and you can even go see it. It remained open. You could you can see it for yourself. And there are people who were living there who fell in, and they're now fell into the chasm. And so there's nothing new about this. So the Ibn Ezra actually says that the word bara can also mean a decree, right? That can also be related to the word gzeira, and it really means im gzeira yigzar Hashem, if Hashem will make a decree upon Korach. And the Ibn Ezra therefore departs from the standard, the normative interpretation of the word bria. The Ramban comes along to defend really what Chazal say, the bria chadasha, that it's a new creation. It was something which was bria yeshme. Ramban, this bikiyas ha'adama, this opening of the ground, was the opening of the ground, not so fantabulous. That was nothing so incredibly special, but that happens all the time. However, that what happens afterwards is that then that opening gets filled in with water. It becomes a swamp, or it a canyon, or whatever it is happens there. Aval shetipatach vatisager miyad ka'adam ha'poseach piv livloa ve'yiskor oso acharisha balao, for the ground to have a mouth. And what happens with a mouth is it opens and then it closes, right? That there was a pi ha'aretz, it was a mouth for the ground. It was not just that the ground opened up, but it swallowed Korach. And it was, the Torah describes it as a mouth for the ground. It opened up, it swallowed them, and then it closed it afterwards. That was the Bria Yesh Me'ayin. That was that which was didn't exist before. For the ground to have a mouth, the ground was given a mouth at that point, something which it did not have before. So point number one is just the basic point, that there was a Bria Yesh Me'ayin here. There was something which was on the level of the creation of Shemayim Ba'aretz, which happened here in responding to Korach, which is in line with what the Malbim was saying, what the Rabbeinu Mechaye is saying, that what Korach is doing, what Korach is being shown, is that you are not just challenging a detail of a law. What you are doing is you are going against the entirety of creation. But I think a step further, Korach is being shown that there's no remnant of what you're saying. This is what bring from the Malbim before. Korach cannot just be shown that Korach happened to be in. It has to be Steina, Korach's claim, Korach's challenge. There's no room for it to exist. The ground opens up and closes, and it's as if he never was. Korach and everything he owns and everything he had are all swallowed and gone. And everything is back to as it was before, minus Korach. There is nothing you can point to. Oh, there is where the ground opened up. You could point to the location. There's a Gemara like that in the Rabbah Bar Bar Chana Gemara is that one of the Tanayim, Rav Moraim, went to the place where the ground opened up. But there's nothing to see there. It looks like it did before. The ground opened and closed, and everything's as it was before. There's no remnant. There's no sign. There's nothing left of Korach, because Korach was not just wrong. Korach has no makom for what he's saying. There's no place for it. It doesn't have room for existence. There's nothing even to point to after the fact and say Korach was wrong, but he still was. Korach is deleted from existence. Last point. Rabbeinu Bechaye again, making this same similar point. V'im bria yivra Hashem, that if Hashem will make a bria, so the Rabbeinu Bechaye says that it's interesting that the verse says im bria yivra Hashem with the name Hashem yud kei vav kei. The Rabbeinu Bechaye says that seemingly Moshe was at a point of judgment. He was coming to bring a din down on Korach, that the case had to be closed against Korach. The name of Elohim seemingly would have been better to invoke again in this situation. Says the Rabbeinu Bechaye, Umasha Hizkir Hashem HaMiyuchad. That which Moshe Rabbeinu said in Bria Yivra Hashem with the name Yudke Vavke, Ko Mishpato Shel Kol HaTarev Ki Im Hashem HaMiyuchad. That is the Mishpat. That is the rule of Moshe Rabbeinu. His status is that his nevuah is appropriate to be mentioned only with the nevuah of Yudke Vavke. When we are discussing Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, and the point of this miracle was to sustain Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is on the level of the Shem HaMeforash, the Shem HaMiyuchad, Va'inyan Mipnei, She'ein Nevu'aso Ushlichuso Ela B'Shem HaMiyuchad. His Nevu'ah is only with the Shem HaMiyuchad. His Nevu'ah is only with the name of Hashem, which is the name which is, so to speak, beyond creation. All the other names of Hashem have to do with, within creation, how Hashem interacts with creation. But the name of Hashem, the Shem HaMathorash, that's the name when we want to say the one name of Hashem, which is, you know, it's a hard thing to discuss in our terms, but his real name, so to speak. The one name which supersedes the interaction with this world, that's the name of the Shem HaMeforash. And that's the level of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, is that it's, what we were describing before, is the Nevuah of the Torah, which is the foundation for existence. That's the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. Umipnei shechatas achot me'ele kevedim ma'od, because their sin of Korach was very heavy. The Hamiku Shichaso Beikrei Torah Lakrei Yesodos Kemamiku Mekatzei Shoras Ha'ilon, and they dug so deep that they were, you know, uprooting the roots of the Torah. Ba'im Kenegin Nevuato Shel Moshe Va'iviu Ba'im Kenegin Nevuato Shel Moshe Hamisnabe B'Shem HaMiyuchad, and they were challenging the Nevuah of Moshe, which is in the Shem HaMiyuchad, comes from that level. The Amar, the Imbria Yivra Hashem, and therefore he said, if Hashem will make a Bria Kolomar, the Imbria Chadasha Upela Mefursam, Aser Hashem Yisbarach Livro Neged Kol Yisrael Be'echad Min Hazmanim. This, if Hashem will make a creation at some point, Kemo Shehivtichani B'Sinai, like Hashem promised me, says Moshe, at Har Sinai. Neged kol amcha asa niflos asher lo nivru, that in front of your entire nation, Moshe, I will do wonders which were not created, meaning which were not created in the original act of creation. Yivra Hashem ata, Hashem should do that creation now. Ki ata higi asha. And this is the last point that I want to make, which is that the Rabbeinu Bachai is really referring to a chazal, is tying in here this promise, this idea of the new creation that Hashem makes in order to defend Moshe Rabbeinu, was promised at Har Sinai. At Matan Torah, there was a reference to the fact that Hashem is going to do this Bria for Moshe Rabbeinu at some later point. And that, because this, that Korach was coming to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu here, is not just challenging Moshe Rabbeinu in a vacuum. He's challenging Maimid Har Sinai. He's challenging Matan Torah. And therefore, it's hinted to in Matan Torah itself that there is going to be another stage, another step in Matan Torah, where it is shown that not only was the Torah given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and Hashem is clearly speaking to Moshe, but that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is unchallengeable. No one can come and question the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu. At Har Sinai, we saw that Moshe Rabbeinu is the highest level Navi. And now we're shown that establishment of Moshe Rabbeinu, one step further, Moshe Rabbeinu, there's nothing to discuss, there's no hear-hor, there's no question, no doubt that you can have about whether or not Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is pure, is something authentic, and that's the foundation for the entire Torah, is that there, you cannot point to Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah and say, well, maybe that wasn't what Hashem really wanted. Maybe that was only because there was something that Hashem was doing for Moshe Rabbeinu, there was something that Moshe Rabbeinu presented the way he wanted it to be presented. That undermines the entirety of the Torah. And Korach was being shown, you have no makom, you disappear. That is a challenge which is going against the entirety of the Torah and the entirety of existence, and therefore the earth swallows him up and leaves no remnant, leaves no trace of where Korach was. And that's the essence of the eighth ikar, is this point that if you don't accept that Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying the clear and pure word of Hashem, so then there's always you're not going to have specific problems with the entirety of Moshe's Nevuah now becomes under scrutiny, and anything you don't like will be the thing that you point to and say, that's the thing that, okay, I know Hashem said it, but it didn't really want that. That was, you know, circumstantial. That's not hechrechi. It didn't have to be that way, and therefore I'm not so bound by that. The acceptance of the eighth ikar is the point which negates that issue, that possibility. It makes that a person understands that the Torah is the absolute ratzon of Hashem, and there's nothing in it. There is no leiv v'klipa, as the Rambam says. There's no part of it which is more internal, and parts that are more external, parts which are more peripheral. Everything is the Dvar Hashem, absolutely 100%, exactly the way that Hashem wanted it, because that is the message that he wanted to say, and because that was the way of relaying Ratzon Hashem to Klal Yisrael. That is the principle of the eighth ikar.